On Friday, we were blessed with the presence in person of the Lord Jesus. At least two people saw him. Many felt his special presence. And he had a special message given to Karen for the church, for the body, for us. A message that says, on this fast that's coming up, it's a time of drawing closer to him. That if you're open, he'll visit you. And confirmed later by the word, which says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any person open, I'll come in and have supper with him. We thank you, Lord, for visiting us on Friday. Our hearts are open to you. All we have, we give to you. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all we have, and we ask you to change us. If that is the desire of your heart, why don't you quietly say that in your own words to him? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us in a new and more mighty way, even right now. Let your glory flood us as we whisper, Jesus, Jesus.
During the worship, Jesus came again. He's here now. And he told me to tell you that you've responded to his call. And because of that, I saw his hands. He was standing here in the front like this. And out of his hands, the glory and power were imparted to a greater degree to both Pastor Joshua and Pastor Sarah, like this. And as his hands stretched forth, I could see beams of light, like radiation, going into both of them. Like when you power up a cell phone, he was powering up both, Pastor Joshua and Pastor Sarah, like this. And then he stood here for most of the worship, and then he imparted that same glory and power to each and everyone here and on the internet as well, whoever is watching by internet. And then I saw him cupping his hands, and there was rivers of living water inside his hands like this. And he said, come and drink of me. And then he poured that water, the washing of the water of the word of God, of himself, on each and every one watching live stream or here at ABC. And I saw sickness and disease jumping off of people and getting out and leaving them and being casted out. I saw people being cleansed of demons immediately. And he said, this is greater than the pool of Bethesda. It's my living water.
Amen.
On
thank
each
you, Jesus.
And every one of us.
Hallelujah.
And he said, this is the year. This is the year where he's equipping each and every one of us through ABC, through the revelation given to Pastor Joshua and Pastor Sarah, that he has not given any man on this earth yet for the preparation of the end times. And those that want to be ready need to be trained here and jump in to the pool and be saturated and be trained and be equipped and be ready to be strong warriors of God, so that you will not only be an overcomer but take dominion and power over the works of darkness, and the kingdom of God shall be demonstrated through each one of you that answer the call. And today, because you've come, he has a special blessing for each of us through Pastor Joshua and Pastor Sarah, of what they will prophesy to us through the very mouth of God will come from them. And I'm so honored to be here, as Jesus himself can only be in one place, being a glorified body, came back today again to be with us, because he's called us to be part of the remnant army And today is a special day, as he himself has come. And I worship him, and I honor him, and I thank him for being here in our presence. And he chose us to have a special work in his kingdom. And I receive, Jesus, we all receive from you today, and through Pastor Joshua and Pastora Sarah, the special word that you're going to give us through them. And we receive from you the cleansing of the washing of the word of God that you've bestowed on each one of us today, a special cleansing of your word, a special impartation of your glory that we've received today. Let's just tell him how much we worship him. We worship you, Jesus.
We worship you,
we
Lord.
Worship you.
Bless your holy name.
We worship
Lord, all
you,
we
Jesus.
Have, we give
we
you, Lord.
Worship you,
we
Jesus.
Worship you, Lord.
We worship you, Jesus.
We worship you, Lord.
Jesus.
We bow down and worship
we
you, Lord.
We worship you. We bow
worship
down Lord, and worship you.
You are our
we bow
all
down
all.
And worship you, for you are worthy you. And worthy to worship be praised. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. You are our King. You are our Lord. You are our Master.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you,
we
Jesus.
We worship you, Jesus.
We worship you, Lord. You are everything,
we worship
Lord, and
you,
we are
Jesus.
Nothing.
We humble ourselves. We submit ourselves to you, holy. We give you our heart. We give you everything. We give you our will. We give you our dreams. We desire to follow you and what you have for us today. We worship you.
We
worship you. We open up our spiritual ears and our physical ears and open up our spiritual eyes to see, help us to see and discern in the spirit realm today and hear the voice of God for us today. We worship you. We worship you in spirit and truth. We worship you. Holy Spirit, come.
You withhold nothing, Lord.
In a greater anointing.
We give you our all.
We worship
you,
Jesus.
We hold nothing back, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just remember, anywhere you are for a moment. The Lord will say unto us, I, beloved children, in whom I am well pleased. And you're growing up to be adults in my family. And I'm calling you, starting this year, to walk in dominion. When one is on a mountaintop, on a mountain peak, around you are valleys, precipices, crags. Around you is all danger. But on the mountain peak, you're above it all. And you're on the mountain, firm and secure in me. For my arms enfold you and cradle you and cushion you. And my word is all you need. For I have exalted my word above my name. And I maintain all things through the word of my power. And I'm calling you to be as a hind, a mountain deer, that jumps from one peak to another. I'm calling you to go from one mountaintop to another, that you'll go higher and higher from one mountain to another mountain, just as we see in the graphic here, going from one peak and there behind is a higher peak. You go from one mountain to another mountain, in one giant bound, going from level to level, from glory to glory in me, for my hands will carry you from that peak to another. And as my glory falls in you, as my glory up in you becomes more and more intense, more and more magnified, more and more manifested, my glory will take you from mountain to mountains. You will ride up on wings like eagles. And you'll tear down the mighty things. You will be on hind's legs, going from one mountain to another mountain, to another mountain of glory and of revelation knowledge and of power and authority and dominion. But as you do that, you will be going from one mountain of strongholds of the enemy to another mountain of stronghold, and you will be tearing these down. For the enemy is under your foot. As you go from mountaintop to a mountaintop, he will be under your foot, and you will bring down all those strongholds in your life. But do you understand that to walk in this dominion, the dominion that I have given you, the authority that's vested in the name of my Son Jesus, that you must start with dominion over your own body? For I gave to Adam my son the Garden of Eden to have dominion and authority over it. And I've given to you your body, your life, your surroundings, that you may exercise and establish my will, my kingdom in you, around you, in your areas of influence, and move outward where you can do as 1ABC has been doing for several years, which is every day, the intention of his heart is every day, and he does it almost every day. He washes the high mountain places where the enemy has raised up the altars to Satan, and he washes them with rivers of living water, and he pulls down those strongholds. For it is the ploy of the enemy to move into an area, a city, and establish blasphemous altars on the five high points around a city, thereby loosing his power and his demons and his evil spirits into that area. But you are going to go from mountain to mountain, and you're going to tear down those strongholds, and you're going to pull them down. And as you do that in the spiritual realm, others of my family will go and physically tear down these altars, that we may reclaim this country for me. For this country was founded upon my principles, upon my word, to bring the light to the world. And it will again resume that preeminent position. If you go from mountain to mountain, if you understand, believe, speak, and live the fact that I am your strength, your personal bravery, and your invincible army, which I've declared to you in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 19. My children, let these visitations of this weekend be a rallying cry for the future. Be an anchor to your soul as you move forward in this year. In this, the last year of the era of fear, know that you have progressed. You're here today. You've been called with a calling. You've been anointed with a glory. And it's time to move outward. My children, in whom I'm well pleased, thus saith the Lord.
I didn't know if I was supposed to share this, but I believe I am, because when we were worshiping earlier and Karen came forward, and as we were worshiping, I usually worship with my hands up, and God said, cup your hands under your heart. And then Karen came up and said she was cupping her hands under her heart for the water. And God was saying, cup your hands under your heart to give your heart to me. And Pastor Joshua said, give your hearts to him. So I just want to know, let you know that there's one spirit, and he speaks to all in the confirmation of what he is giving to everybody. And I thought that was important.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else have a word? No pressure. Okay. What Linda just did is kind of in line with what's been in my spirit. We all see in our own lives how God weaves this wonderful tapestry of miracles and amazing things coming together, right? I mean, like when he really wants to teach you something, you open the Bible and it jumps out at you, and then you get in your car, turn the radio on, and the preacher's talking about it, and you get to church, and what are they talking about? The same thing, right? And we've all experienced that. On Friday, I came out here to turn the worship music on. We play the worship music in general all day to get the anointing built up for the service. Because you see, everything you do that's godly for warfare is to build up the anointing. So we do affirmations to build up the anointing. We praise God to build up the anointing. We receive communion to build up the anointing. We stay away from sin to remain under the anointing. Everything is for the anointing. For the anointing destroys the yoke. It's the anointing that brings your healing manifestation. It's the anointing that brings you your job. It's the anointing that keeps your job. And so we build up the anointing all day, and then we have a 5 o'clock service, which builds up the anointing more than a 6 o'clock service. And finally, by 7 o'clock, you're here. And so come in respectful of the anointing, knowing that many hours have gone already building up the anointing. For it's the anointing that changes your life. We've had many wonderful guest speakers who've come here, and they've all marveled at the presence of God here and the anointing. And one story comes to mind where this man, I didn't know him, he spoke at a church, and it's the only time in my life I went up to a man I did not know, and I said, I really liked what you said today. Could you come to my church and speak? And he said, he stopped and he prayed. He said, yes, I'll come. He said, I want you to know it's a home church. He said, God says to go, so I'm going. He came here. During the service, he said, you know, I speak to crowds of like, you know, many thousands, 10,000. I have not spoken in a home in, I think he said, a decade or more, or 2 decades. But he says, the anointing here is so wonderful. Anytime you want me, just call me. I'll be here. Because of that sweet presence of God, which changes people. And so on Friday, I went out and I have a playlist called The Second Coming. And I stick into it songs which has something to do with the second coming. In case I ever need one, I pull it out. But I've never played the entire playlist until Friday. The Lord said, play it. So I put it on, and it played all day. Not that many songs, but they played all day, all day. Meanwhile, Pastor Karen was at home, and God gave her a song, which is on my playlist, Heaven and Earth. And all day the song is going around on her. All day she's singing, Heaven and Earth. And then 5 o'clock service starts. Pastor Matthew came up and saw this playlist on the second coming. Every song he played was from that. And he left it. 6 o'clock service that I took over, I kept it going. Every song I played was from the playlist. 7 o'clock service, the same thing, but I added a few more songs because we went a long time. And then one song that I was going to take out because we'd been playing it all day was We Cry Out. God is just weaving this tapestry, right? And the We Cry Out song, I was going to take it out, and God says, no, leave it. So I went to the playlist, came back, and I said, you know, it doesn't really fit there, so I'm going to take it out. God says, no, leave it. So a little later, I should take the song out. And God says, leave it. 3 times he told me. So I left it. So the song started playing at the 7 o'clock service near the end. And that's when Karen saw Jesus appear. Now, I didn't know that. I just know that when the song came, a special anointing hit me, and I just raised my hand. Pastor Michael tells me that as I raised my hand, so did Pastor Sarah. And then Jesus came in, and at least 2 people saw him with that wonderful prophecy and the special promise. And that triggered today, carried over to today. Isn't that awesome how he weaves these things in our lives? It's just so special, so special. And so today I want to start out with a handout called Resurrection Authority. We're going to jump around a little bit. I don't think this is going to take very long, but it doesn't make any difference. You know, a couple of years ago, the Lord had me take my watch off so I wouldn't look at the time when I was ministering. And we may come back to that, where we take out all the clocks, all the watches. So please don't schedule lunch meetings right after church. I'm serious, okay? I want the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do. I'm not looking for a long service. I'm not looking for a short service. I'm looking for an anointed, Spirit-led service. If that's what you're looking for, you've come to the right place. So if you walk away from today with anything, what I want you to walk away from today with, that the world changed when Jesus was resurrected. And just as the world changed, so did ministry. Ministry changed. The ministry before Jesus was resurrected is different from the ministry after Jesus. So walk away knowing ministry before Jesus was resurrected is different from ministry after Jesus was resurrected. And 2, know that after his resurrection, he told you to do it. He gave you the power, the authority, and the dominion, and he said, you do it. Okay? So life changed, the ministry changed, and you now have the responsibility to do it. That's what I want you to walk away from here today with. Now, this is 2015. In 2011, the Lord told us we would be in an era of fear, 5 years of fear. And during that time, people would actually fall down dead because of fear. Fear has been up on the earth. It's been tremendous. Many times we've heard in the news where there was significant tragedy, earthquake, whatever, and people just had heart attacks and died. That, I think, is a modern way of saying they fell down dead because of fear. But not at ABC. Today, the world is in fear and chaos, but we just had a truly awesome service. We can continue to have truly awesome lives regardless of what happens in the world if we keep our eyes fixed up in Jesus. This is from the LA Times from January 3rd. It says, the list of global problems is indeed long and worrisome. Seemed to me we heard that about, 78 years ago? Europe and Japan teeter on the edge of recession. Russia careens towards a full-blown economic crisis, not to mention annexing the Crimea, sending their bomber jets into the Caribbean, and some other things they've done. China's once torrid growth is slowing faster than previously forecast. And many emerging economies are getting slammed by plunging oil prices. And because of all this, all the money is flocking into the United States. There's like a bunch of dominoes lined up to fall down. And the one that's going to tip it in this particular time is the United States. Everything right now is dependent on the United States. And the United States thinks they're doing very well right now. Okay? Well, we know that by the end of this year, the beginning of next year, the stock market is going to plummet. It will not be the last stock market crash. It will not be the one that economic forecasters have said will make the Great Depression after 1929 look like a garden party. It will not be that one. That would be the next one. So what you're hearing today is there are two more stock market crashes before the Lord returns. Now, this is a wonderful time. I started telling people a year ago, beginning of last year, that it's the great time that we had about a 12 to 15 month, 18 month period to sell properties. Great time to sell your property, rent something, and then buy it back when prices go down. If you had that kind of a lifestyle, if you're going to ride through it anyway and stay in the same house and you don't care about prices, as we have done, makes no difference to you. Now, just as God weaves his tapestry in our lives, just as he wove his tapestry for this weekend, he weaves tapestries for churches and for denominations if they continue to listen to the voice of the Lord. So the tapestry for ABC End Times has been in the process of being woven for decades, literally decades. Back in 1983, the Lord told me that I should never be a 501c3 corporation. 501c3 corporation is the Achilles heel of almost every church and ministry in this country. They will fall because of that. Because of the 501c3 corporation, they have chosen by the application to be a 501c3 corporation. They've chosen to give up their right of separation of church and state. And they've come and taken their church under the ordinances of the government. And if you want more of that, we have a teaching on that called Living in God's Glory During the Ending Days, series of four. And part three or four goes into depth as to why that's so bad. You know, people don't like to be, they don't like to be told they're wrong. Worse than that, when they think they're doing well and doing right, they don't want you to tell them they're wrong and that if they keep doing it, they're going to go to hell. For some reason, it bothers them, right? The Bible says, you know, to people such as that, we are the aroma of death. So when you have the world heading the same way it did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, in the days of Noah, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be. When the world is heading that direction, then people who have the glory of God on them reminds them of death and destruction and hell, the aroma of death. Not talking about believers. We were all sinners. We all got saved. We were like that. We came out of it. That doesn't mean we quit sinning, but our hearts belong to the Lord. And we want more and more for nothing to be in our hearts but Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus. Amen? Is that true? So when I speak about the world, there but for the grace of God and the prayer of people who love us, there we would be. We're not looking down on them. We just know where they're heading and where we are heading. And that's why the major goal is to bring people to Jesus. The only reason why you and I should be on earth is to lead people to Jesus. If you think you're on earth to have a nice time, I got news for you. Heaven is a lot nicer. The millennium period is a lot nicer. What we wallow in here in this world carnally and call it pleasure is really terrible compared to the pleasures that God has for us. Amen? So God has been weaving his tapestry for ABC for a long time. Back in 83, he showed me the time frame for his return. No, I don't know the day or the hour. No man knows that. But I know the season. And more than the season, I have a 90% confidence I know the precise year. I have 100% confidence I know the precise year plus or minus one. There are people here who know that. Generally, I teach it when the Lord says teach it, and I've taught it when several of you have been here. And I teach it simply by giving scriptures. It's very obvious in the scriptures once you see it. You say, my, how didn't I see that before? That's what revelation knowledge is all about. When you see it, you think, how could I have read that so many times and not see it? It's obvious. It's very obvious. So God started weaving his tapestry for ABC way back in the early 80s, maybe even before that. But back in the early 80s, probably around 85, I used to participate in supporting an evangelist named Vicki Jameson. Wonderful evangelist. She used to be head of the Rhema Bible Healing School. Then she was a traveling companion with Kenneth Hagin. She would sing. Then she had her own ministry, wonderful ministry. She would sing out healings, sing them out in rhymes. Just wonderful. She's singing this beautiful voice, singing out these prophecies and these healings. And it's all rhyming, and it's just amazingly wonderful, and people getting healed here and here and here. Just tremendous. Once she did it to my younger brother. One of the chief steps in my getting saved, he went to the service because his back was in terrible shape. At that time, I had not spoken to the family in like 10 years because I didn't like them. And so the one person I did communicate with was my younger brother who lived in Jamaica. And he'd come up maybe once a year. So he came up, hurt his back, and all these crazy people took him to this evangelistic service. And she's singing out and she points to him and says, right there, you know, there's a man with an injured back and right now God is healing him. And warmth, fire ran through his back. He got instantly healed. In one service, he was born again, spirit-filled, prayed in tongues, healed, gave up drinking, gave up smoking. We'll stop there, okay? Okay? And then he got me to go back to church. He came and said, hey, you got to come see this. And so he brought me there. So eventually I got saved, and I started participating in the ministry, helping out. And we're there. Pretty much the whole family was helping in the ministry. And one day, a lady came over to my sister-in-law. This is probably 1984. And said, my name is Donna Douglas. And God told me to join myself to the Wong family for a season. She says, who's the Wong family? She's talking to my sister-in-law, who is a white English woman. She says, I'm trying to find the Wong family and I can't find them. She says, well, you're talking to one right now. Okay? And so she joined herself to the Wong family for a season. Now, the reason I'm mentioning that is, this is the Saturday's newspaper. Saturday, January 3rd. Yesterday's newspaper. And this is Donna Douglas, front page. Front page of the California section. Beg your pardon. Many of you know her. Knew her. There's a show on TV that's very, very popular in reruns. It's called the Beverly Hillbillies. And Donna Douglas was Ellie Mae. Was Ellie Mae. You all know Ellie Mae? I used to love Ellie Mae. Okay? So Donna Douglas was Ellie Mae. She joined herself to the Wong family for a season. And she participated in many, many of our home services where she met some wonderful people, wonderful ministers of the gospel. For example, Billy Brim. Okay? He used to be in our home services. This is going back over 30 years ago. Now, what I found out from reading this, and I have this here because I thought Karen might want to read it, when Donna got started entertainment, was that she won a beauty contest. I guess she was Miss Louisiana. I never knew that. I mean, I knew she was pretty, but I never knew she was a beauty contest winner. And then she went on, she made a movie with a man you might all know. She was a co-star for a man you might have all have heard of. His name was Elvis Presley. Okay? So she was the co-star in an Elvis Presley movie. And then she got her own series, and then she got promoted to being with the Wong family. And then she went from there out on TV and a lot, and different things. So anyway, she went home to be with the Lord at 82 on Thursday. I mention that because starting 30 years ago, God was working his tapestry. Maybe 10 years ago, God brought a man here and he said, I want you to be with ABC to be built up for a season. Well, you know, the Kenneth Copeland Ministries is being run now by John Copeland. And the man who brought John Copeland to the Lord or back to the Lord is a man named Giorgio Sanchez, because he was having nothing to do with the ministry. So they say Giorgio Sanchez led John Copeland to the Lord. And Giorgio Sanchez was the man that God brought here to be with us for a season. Okay? Now, I could go on with many, many stories like that. I just felt led to mention these two. See, I would that everybody would change their lives simply because the Bible says it. That's what I tried to do when I got saved. I read the Bible, and whatever it said to do, do. And after I did for a while, and here I started hearing God very clearly, and the end result was he did to me a little bit of what he did to Abraham, which is totally took me out of the life that I had. Totally changed my life. I used to live in Malibu, and I loved it so much. And one day I came out, and I saw something, and God said, this is no longer for you. I want you to leave Malibu. I left Malibu, and I went to the end of the world. You know, Moses went to the back side of the desert. I kind of felt I went to the back side of the end of the world. And I apologize to anybody who's listening to it. I came to love the place, but when I went there, to me, it was the back side of the desert. And God brought me back from there step by step to where I'm here now with you wonderful people. But many people don't do that. They don't change unless they understand it. God says do X and they won't do X until they understand why. And that's really not a good habit. But it's understandable. Because I do the same thing sometimes. I try not to. Just as I know you all try not to. And next level is we do it when we can see the fruits with our eyes. It's not enough to see the spiritual fruit, we need to see the physical proof. And so in that vein, that's why I've given you these two stories. Because a lot of the stories from ABC, most of you don't know. And that's kind of an introduction to what I want to talk about here. So, this is resurrection authority. God told me to teach this, I think Friday morning. And I thought he meant Friday night, so I had it all laid out in my Bible with the markers. You can see the markers here. And of course, everything changed, and I never did it Friday, so I'm going to do it today. And I wasn't going to have an outline, but because some of you haven't brought your Bibles, and because some of you are not as proficient in finding the books and chapters as you would like to be, I have had compassion in you and produced some of the scriptures here so you don't have to keep turning around in the Bible. God has said that we're coming to the end of the era of fear, which means that really bad times are starting. All that's happened in the last 5 years, God said, that's just fear. All that you could walk through just by understanding is fear. I remember when the tsunami destroyed the nuclear plant in Japan, and there was a nuclear cloud heading for the West Coast, and there was panic about radiation getting here, that the pharmacies on the West Coast, especially the southern part of the West Coast, were all sold out of iodine 131, potassium iodide, because potassium iodide absorbs the radiation. So they all bought it, people taking potassium iodide pills. And people in ABC came to me and said, do we need to take it? And my answer at that time is the following. No, we did not need to take it because the Lord says that by the time it gets here, it will be negligible. Don't worry about it, which came to pass. But that's not the kind of level we're moving into in the future. See, what I would have liked to have said is, you don't need to take it because in the name of Jesus, every chemical, drug, poison, radiation, fire and explosion that touches your body is neutralized in contact with your body. You know, that's dominion. That's where you need to go. And it's what God is saying here. This is where we are going. Potassium iodide is not a medicine per se, but it was being used as one, as a preventative medicine. We need to comprehend it's the anointing that sets you free. It's the anointing that keeps you free. It's the anointing that moves you from mountaintop to mountaintop. And the purpose of sin is to destroy that anointing in your life. The devil tells you sin is fun, or sin is natural, or sin is something you can't help doing. But the point of fact, the purpose of sin is to destroy the anointing. is to get God into your life. We need to comprehend the anointing puts you over. The anointing sets you free. The anointing destroys the yoke. And the best place in general, not always, the best place in general to get the anointing is in an anointed church service, when anointed people come together to worship God together. I have a person I know very well, and he says to me, there's no anointing in my church. And I was very polite. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. What I wanted to say is, why in the world are you going to church without an anointing? But I have been affirming for years that God will put a watch upon my tongue so I don't sin against him. And my words bring grace to the hearer. And all I said was, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm very sorry to hear that. You know, I'm not trying to offend anybody. But I am trying to teach the gospel of the ending days to a bunch of people who want to hear it and move up to be manifested sons and daughters of God. Not children. The years of being children are behind us. Let's take off our diapers. Let's get rid of the milk of the word and move up, not just to the meat, but the strong meat. You want some strong meat? I will tell you this, very short, strong meat. I used to pray, Lord, when I'm raptured and I go up, I want my wife with me, and I want my Bible. I couldn't imagine doing it with my Bible. You ever look at my Bible? You know, Kenneth Copeland sold his Bible. He made copies of his notes in his Bible and created a Bible. Not sold it, gave it away. Took his Bible, beautiful Bible, leather cover. I mean, the ones he gave away were beautiful leather covers, and it was a copy of his Bible. So you flipped it open, and you see his notes in the margin, okay? And it was very neat and orderly and wonderful. My Bible, I mean, look, for example, look at this. This is page one, okay? You see it? It's just writing. It's just, I got scribbles all over the place here. You know, look at this. I mean, if I did that to my Bible, nobody would want it because they can't read all that scribbling. That's how much my Bible means to me. And I said, Lord, when I'm raptured, I want to take my Bible. He didn't answer, but that triggered some teaching. A lot of teaching over a period of time. Not right then, but later. Now I understand. That's more nonsensical than, you know, a teenager going out in his new Ferrari saying, I want to take my pacifier with me. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine this nice 19-year-old kid in a nice Ferrari with a pacifier driving on the street? Doesn't go over so well. Because when we are raptured, we won't need the Bible. We won't need it. Now, you understand, you're thinking, yes, when you're raptured, you're going to heaven. Why do you think that? Here's a homework assignment. Find me a scripture. I settle for one that says when you're raptured, you're going to heaven. I'm serious. That's your homework assignment for next Sunday. Anybody can find me a scripture that says when I'm raptured, I'm going to heaven. When you're raptured, you're not going to heaven. When you're raptured, you're going into the millennial period. You start the millennial period. And so I knew that. So I'm thinking, I don't want to go into the millennial period without my Bible. I now understand it's like the kid with the pacifier in his mouth. Maybe we'll touch on this more in the School of Dominion. Maybe you wait until semester 6. But look it up. See if you can find one scripture that tells you when you're raptured, you're going to heaven. Not what people are saying, not what people are writing, but what the Bible says. So, moving along very rapidly. Today's outline is called Resurrection Authority. It's a lifestyle for 2015 and beyond. A lifestyle. To go into that lifestyle, we need to understand something which every person here at ABC should already know. That if you look at the temptation in Luke 4, verse 6, Satan took Jesus up to a mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and said, all these are mine to give because they have been delivered to me, and I will give them to you if you bow down and worship me. In other words, he is giving Jesus a shortcut to his career goal. A shortcut to his career goal. Don't go through all the hard work. You can shorten your career and get the end result by quitting college as a junior and getting drafted, making all these millions. Happens all the time, right? Gave me a shortcut. Long, long time ago. Many, many decades ago. I had a shortcut. Somebody offered me $2 million for half a day's work. Now you must understand that 3 decades ago, $2 million was a lot of money. $2 million for half a day's work. And I turned it down. So I understand a little bit about temptation. So the kingdoms of the earth were delivered to Satan, which happened when Adam sinned. You all know that. Which is why 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says Satan is the god of this world. Really grieves me when I see all these Christian movies and they're talking about why doesn't God solve all these problems in the world, and they talk about all these terrible things and they never ever mention the devil. I can't think the last time I saw a Christian movie which mentioned the devil. He's like an unmentionable. It's half of the equation. Well, not half the equation. God is 9/10 of the equation. But the devil is that little factor in there. And he's the factor that creates all these problems on earth. He's the factor that creates all the problems in your life. Every problem you have in your life is traced back to the devil. Every problem. All the bad habits that you had are still struggling with, get rid of the demons in your life, and you get rid of the bad habits. That's true for you. It's true for me. Devil wants you to think, you are doing this because you want it, because you enjoy it, or because you're afraid of it. Well, the enjoyment and the fear are all coming from the demons. Just as the thought of doing it is coming from the demons. Cleanse your life of the devil's demons and evil spirits. And a primary way is get under the anointing and stay under it. Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power. He went around doing well, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. Healing all means all people were healed. Healing all. Every aspect of their being could have been healed, which tells you all that which requires healing was because of the devil. Healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Which tells you that every challenge you have is an oppression of the enemy. Because Adam had no problems until the devil came in. And Jesus died and was resurrected to restore us to the Adamic covenant. Which is why we receive his body. It was broken for you. And then gave us a new covenant with his blood, which is better than the covenant Adam had. Hebrews 2 verse 14. This is part of the better covenant. Jesus destroyed him who had the power over death. He destroyed him. All his power is gone. He's under our feet. It's our job to keep him under our feet. That scripture tells you that death comes from the devil. The devil is defeated. Jesus destroyed him. And you and I are supposed to keep him under our feet. Why have we not been keeping him under our feet? One reason is we like sinning. Another reason is we run around in fear. All that comes from a lack of knowledge. Because God's people perish for a lack of knowledge. And part of the lack of knowledge is we don't understand that there was a mighty change in life and in ministry when Jesus died and was resurrected. People say we're supposed to minister the way Jesus did. Well, only up to a point. Only up to a point. In Jesus' own word, he said, the things that I do, you will do and greater. If you're doing greater things than he did, then you're not doing what he did. You're doing greater things. Jesus, for example, never ministered to a born-again person. Nobody was born again before his death and resurrection. It was impossible. Yet, the primary focus of this ministry is ministering to born-again people. Our job is to take those who are sold out to Jesus, those who truly are hot or want to be hot, and help them to come to the point where they're washed by the water of the word and become part of the church that prepares the way for Jesus Christ to return. Jesus never did any of that. Jesus cast out a lot of demons. But not once do we see, I'm not saying it didn't happen, not once did we see in the scriptures where he cast demons out of the same person more than once. So what happened after the resurrection? Well, let's see what Jesus said. Okay? Don't take my word for it, even if it makes sense. Let's see what he says. Let's look at his words after he came back and was resurrected. So let's start our journey in Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. So in Luke 24, starting in verse 48, 46 and 47 talks about wonderful things, Jesus suffering and raising from the dead, wonderful for us. Talks about the wonderful things of repentance and the remission of sins should be preached to in his name among all nations. So he's talking about what we should be doing. What we should be doing is ministering the gospel. Verse 48, and you are witnesses of all these things. Verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Remember that Jesus said that it is expedient, it is mandatory, it is better for you if I leave you and go. For if I leave you and go, then the Holy Spirit will send another comforter. God will send another comforter, even the Holy Spirit. See, if Jesus hadn't died and gone to heaven, we would not have the Holy Spirit in us. So the promise of the Father. But tarry at the city of Jerusalem until you be imbued with power from on high. So what are the three things he's saying here? One is preach the gospel. Two is power is coming. And three is coming with the Holy Spirit. That's what the entire gospel is all about. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. Starting at verse 7. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. In other words, they're saying, when will you again restore the kingdom of Israel? And I mentioned to my graduate students, notice the question is not, when are you coming back? The question is not, when is the rapture? The question is specific. When will you restore the kingdom of Israel? Think up on these things. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which your Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So the power comes after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. Now, before he said this, he had already breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Because when he appeared to them, we're going to see that in John, when he appeared to them after his resurrection, then they believed, and then they could believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Then they could be born again. He said, receive the Holy Spirit, then they were born again. But then they were told to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Ghost to come, and they'd receive power. Let's go to Acts 2, verse 4. Starting in verse 3, this is the day of Pentecost. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire, and it sat upon each one. The Holy Ghost came down upon each person. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And as a result of that, 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people got saved. What did we see? One is the Spirit of God came down on them. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Two is they started functioning in the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, signs and wonders. Miracles started to follow them. And the purpose of that is to preach the gospel, and 3,000 people got saved. So again, the Holy Spirit upon you gives you power. The purpose is to preach the gospel. And as the rivers of power flow through you, dip into it and take out what you need for yourself. That's called dominion. But what keeps the rivers of power flowing through you is ministering the gospel. And you dip into the river and take out what you need to walk in dominion. Doesn't mean we all have to quit our jobs and be full-time ministers. Actually, that would be a wonderful thing. You know, think of that pastor who said, yeah, then who's going to give tithes and offerings? Receiving the tithes and offerings is to bless you. Okay? It's to bless you. Yes, it is true. There's a responsibility upon the hearer who receives spiritual things to bless the person who is preaching the spiritual thing and to bless them carnally. Scriptures make that very clear. But the purpose of receiving tithes and offering is to bless the people. That's the primary purpose. Let's go to Matthew 28, verse 18. So Jesus has been resurrected. Look in 28, 18. So far, every scripture we've seen so far after his resurrection has to do with power. Matthew 28, 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Power. That's what he came for. He came to defeat Satan as the God of the world and take back the power that Satan had usurped. To take it back. To destroy the works of the evil one and give that power back to us. All we have to do is use that power to walk in dominion over a defeated enemy who has no power unless you choose to give it to him. By sinning, either with your words of your mouth or by your other actions. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Again, we see power and preaching the gospel. So we have all power in heaven and earth has been given to us. All the power is vested in the name of Jesus. Let's look at some of the power. John 20. You all know about 20/20 vision, right? Opticians and ophthalmologists love to talk about 20/20 vision. They call that normal vision. You want to see 20/20 vision in John? Look at John 20/20. John 20/20. In John 20/20, and when Jesus had said, "Peace be unto you," he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. 20/20 vision. They saw the truth of what Jesus had been teaching because they saw his hands and his side. 20/20 vision. They finally saw clearly that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was God. Jesus was the Messiah. We have that 20/20 vision, do we not? No, let's see what the 20/20 vision shows us. Then Jesus said to them again, verse 21, "Peace be unto you. As his Father has sent me, even so I send you." So they have the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Son of God. What did they say? "I'm sending you." You know, we're really, in the faith word churches, Pentecostal churches, we're really great at saying all these promises that Jesus made to the disciples and apostles, all these teachings apply to us because he's no respecter of persons. So we love all the blessings and the healings and all these things. But what about the responsibility? What did he say to them? He says, "I send you." And that's what he's saying to every one of us. "I send you." And examine your heart today and look back at your life. And look back at your life based on the primary criteria we're seeing after the resurrection. Power and power to minister. How many people have you led to Jesus in your life? How many people have you told about Jesus? Even saying, "Here's a dollar and Jesus loves you." We can all do that. That's really easy. The big challenge to all that is fear. And one way to confront that fear is ministering the gospel. Because as long as fear is present in your life, fear will bring in all these other bodies, which includes spirits of sickness, disease, infirmity, deafness, dumbness, weakness, all these things. You don't want fear in your life. Sooner or later, it could backfire. So all the power is there. All the blessings are there. But he's saying, "I send you. I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. This is the same group to whom later he says, "Stay in Jerusalem, imbued with power on high when the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Here he's saying, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Here's where they're born again. And the Spirit of God comes to live in them. But the Spirit of God living in them is different from the Spirit of God up in them. Spirit of God up in them is for ministry and for power and authority and dominion. The Spirit of God in you is for the fruit of the Spirit to change you from the inside out. And then verse 23 is what I'm trying to get to. "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. All power in heaven and earth has been given to me." And part of the power is you can forgive people their sins. But any sins, you have the power to forgive them because you are of mankind and you have total authority and dominion over the earth. You are the ambassador of heaven and earth. Your job is to get heaven to line up to the word of God by putting down Satan, by teaching people how to put down Satan so you can forgive them their sins. Now, of course, a separate thing is you can forgive them the sins and offenses against you. That's separate. And finally, Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15. There's not much recorded about what Jesus said after his resurrection. Much of it is really greeting people and doing things so they recognize him. Almost all of it has to do with power. Almost all of it has to do with power and ministry. The remaining part, much of that, is simply greeting the people and doing things so they recognize him. So what he talked about after he came back from the grave is that resurrection power that belongs to you and me. Mark 16, 15. "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It seems like he says that almost every time we look at power. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned." Every time you meet somebody, especially for the first time, you got a choice. Are you going to sell them the fact that you're a Christian and Jesus is alive? Or are you going to sell them a product? Tough choice for a salesman or a saleswoman. That's why I personally give up sales. What's the choice we all make? Tough choice for somebody who is afraid. This country has financed and put out more of the gospel than any other country ever since it's been founded. And the number one fear in this country is fear of public speaking. You think that's a coincidence? I don't think so. The number one thing we have to do is put out the gospel. And the number one thing we're afraid of is speaking. See, just as God is weaving and has woven his tapestry, the devil is building up his cobwebs. But you can sweep it down by confessing your sins. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I can tell you miracles about every single one of them. Every single one of those items. And you can either do it or you desire to be able to do it because you have them in your life. Because we're not dissimilar. We both love the Lord. So after the resurrection, it's very clear that Jesus is saying, you have all power and authority. Go minister the gospel. We have the power and authority. We need it in these ending days to prepare the way for the Lord. But we need it also to walk in dominion. Luke 10:19 says, nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. Nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. Romans 8:37 says, you're more than a conqueror. You're a super conqueror. Philippians 4:13 says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All that is the power we're talking about. And you can walk in that authority and power by having a lifestyle that's based on releasing the authority and power. So here are the steps to a lifestyle. If this is not ingrained in your heart, I suggest you make copies. Put one on your fridge. So every time you think about eating something, you'll see this facing you. Put one in your mirror. Put one over your bed. Put one over your television. This is a lifestyle for the ending days. Be washed by the water of the word. Be washed by the water of the word. What does that mean? It means hear the word and do the word. Hear the word, do the word. Study the Bible and do what it says. Be washed by the water of the word. Number two, speak the word always in conversation. Now, as a first step in that direction, just let your conversation be godly. Let your conversation bring grace to the hearer. Let there be no backbiting, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, or strife in your conversation. Get the sin out of your words. That's a good step towards keeping the word of God in your mouth. That's number two. Why is it number two? Because no matter what you do in one, no matter how much you hear the word and do the word, if your conversation, if you turn your tongue over to the devil, you will lose. But people are not getting the manifestation. The number one challenge is they're not doing affirmations. The number two is they're doing them incorrectly. And if they pass both of those, the number three is they're walking in unforgiveness. So speak the word always in conversation. Don't contradict your prayers. That is the most common cause of people's prayers not coming true. They contradict their prayers. So people are very good about watching their words when they're talking to the pastor. They're not so good when they're talking to their friends and their family. Am I correct?
Yes.
See? The fly in your bedroom wall is telling me everything. 2020 vision, yeah. Number three. Confess your sins and forgive others. Those are the three main reasons why people don't get the manifestation. Continue to be washed by the water of the word. Speak the word and don't cancel your prayers. And confess your sins and forgive others. Forgive others their sins. What you give comes back to you. Number four, forgive those who have offended you. Forgive those who have offended you. Number five, be a scriptural tither. Notice how high on the list tithing is. Number five, it's after the word. It's after hearing the word, doing the word, speaking the word, confessing your sins, and forgiving others. Then I have be a scriptural tither. Notice the word scriptural. A lot of people think they're tithing, but they're not tithing scripturally. Scriptural tithing means you're doing it the way the Bible says. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, Deuteronomy 26 is the foundational chapter. It says the tithe is holy. So when you bring it in a holy manner. So confess your sins, for the tithe is holy. Leviticus tells us the tithe is holy. The offering is holy. Confess your sins. Then it says, bring that holy tithe to a holy God. That when you bring it to us and we receive it, here on earth we receive it. But there in heaven, Jesus receives it. So understand, every time you give your tithe and offering, you're not giving it to man. You're giving it to Jesus in heaven who's presenting it to the Father. It is not paying a bill. You're not paying a bill to keep the church open. You're not paying a bill because you got preached to and you like the preaching, so you want to pay the pastor. Not your job to pay the pastor. Not your job to keep the church open. That's the job of Jesus Christ. So don't equate your tithes and offerings to paying a bill. Number one is confess your sins. Number two, bring it. You notice that we don't pass the basket around? Now, are we saying that's wrong? I'm not that bold to say it's wrong. But I'm bold enough to say it says bring the tithes and offering, so I'd like to see the people bring it. If they don't bring it, they can keep it. I like to take the word of God literally true in every area of life. It says bring it, bring it. And number three says after you have made an end of tithing, which shows you that it's a process, then you remind God to bless you in this land of milk and honey. So you say, God, you promised to bless me. Bless me in finances. Bless me in my health. Bless my family. Bless my relationship. Bless everything about me. That's the beginning of walking in dominion. Little step along the line, I love one ABCer whose daughter was close to death with a brain injury. And boy, she walked in there and says, God, I'm a tither. Now, concerning the works of your hand, I command you, heal my daughter. Those may be not the exact words, but that's exactly what she did. And God healed the daughter's brain and skull and improved her finances. We have one of our guest speakers. His daughter drowned. They found her in the pool after she's been dead for like 20 minutes. They pulled her out. Paramedics came. Couldn't do anything. And then his brother walked in, who was a pastor. And he chased everybody out of the room except the mother. And he stood over the little girl and says, God, my brother is a tither. He's given much to the gospel. Now, in the name of Jesus, you raise his daughter from the dead. Word to the effect. After a few minutes, the girl sputtered, water came out, and she came back to life. Now, before she died, she was a little bit challenged mentally. Didn't speak much. But after she came back, her IQ just improved tremendously. I mean, way above normal. And she just started talking like there's no tomorrow. Amen? That's the power and authority we're talking about. That's scriptural tithing. Three things. Confess your sins, bring your tithe, and remind God. Number six, pray in tongues a lot. How much? You can't pray in tongues too much. The Bible says pray in the Spirit all the time. If you're not praying in the Spirit, be affirming the word. Find a word, a scripture. Like I love to say, Lord, you've made the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart pleasing to you. I love that one. Two foundational scriptures, every born-again person on the earth. Though most of them don't know it. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart pleasing to him. Those two scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2:16, Psalm 19:14, are a foundational part of your life to walk in dominion. You and I are going to change. We're going to change from now until Jesus returns. What's going to control that change are those two scriptures. You have the mind of Christ and the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart. Those three items determine your change and your direction. Number eight, fast and pray. Pastor Peter says, fast and pray, hear and obey. Pastor Peter, one of the greatest men of God on earth today. Probably the greatest currently. My opinion. My humble opinion, which you all know ain't so humble. You're all praying for me for humility. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. Fast and pray, hear and obey. Number nine is a quiz. What would number nine be? Anybody want to be bold enough? If you're going to put number nine, what would you put on there? Would anybody want to volunteer what number nine should be? That's a good one, but I would not make that number nine. That's a very good one. No, that's actually in number one. Hear and do is implied in number one. Yeah. That's an excellent one. That's an excellent one. But here I'm more focused on the person. That for yourself, as opposed to the other. But that's an excellent one. That should be number one. Okay, think about what you do. What do you do as an ABCer? As an ABCer who's serious and regular, you do all these things already. I'm sure all my graduate students do all these things already. What else do you do that's not on the list? Actually, I hadn't thought of communion. Communion is excellent. I'd make communion number 10. No, you could make communion number 9. Worship is good. Communion and worship are excellent. I hadn't thought of either one. Establish your kingdom is wonderful. But it's one obvious one. All the answers are wonderful. Don't misunderstand me. And I'm not saying mine is right. I'm just saying what I would do. All these are wonderful answers. You've all given wonderful answers. But there is one here that's especially important in the ending days, and especially at ABC. Walking patience is wonderful. I guess we could really make that list really long, huh? Yeah. Linda? That's probably the most important of all of them, but I didn't have that on my list. That's not what I'm looking for. You've all given me answers that I should have put on the list, but I didn't, okay? Okay. Personal cleansing. Personal cleansing. See? Yeah. Personal cleansing. That's what I would make number 9, personal cleansing. In fact, I think I'll write it there. All the other answers were wonderful, and maybe they all belong above number 9, but I do want to highlight personal cleansing. Okay. So, in summary, God wants us in these ending days, starting in this year. He says, you've come through the 4 years of fear. Now, let's start walking in my glory in this fifth year. That in 2015, it is this. 2015, let it be. Draw closer to me, and my glory will be upon thee. He wants his glory upon us, which is another way of saying he wants us to go from one mountaintop experience to another. Which is another way of saying he wants us to level the mountains, bring up all the valleys, straighten the roads, so we just march straight ahead because we're walking in dominion. Which is another way of saying stay under the anointing. Which is another way of understanding that all the power has been given to us and we need to use it. And the primary thing is to tell people about Jesus. Look at your life around you. Do your neighbors who live around you know that you're a Christian? Does your gardener know you're a Christian? Does your grocer know you're a Christian? Does your mailman know you're a Christian? Does the man who fixed your air conditioner know you're a Christian? If the answer is no to any of those, go tell them. Because your testimony can change them. Let me just close with a prayer. If you'd repeat after me. Heavenly Father,
I surrender all.
All to you, Lord Jesus.
I give you my all.
I give you my heart.
Let it be full of love.
I give you my soul.
Let it be free of strongholds of the enemy.
I give you my mind.
Let it be renewed to the Word of God.
I give you my memory.
Let it be washed free
of the sins of the past.
I give you my word and my tongue.
Let every thought that I have,
every word I speak,
every action I do,
be in your will.
That the Spirit of God,
the Holy Spirit,
who raised Jesus from the dead,
who dwells in me,
that he may flood
every cell,
every organ,
every system
in my body
with the life of God.
Let the life of God
in me
drive out everything that's evil.
For all I have, I give to you.
Help me, Lord,
to keep this commitment
that I may walk
with your glory up in me
throughout this entire year,
going from mountain to mountain,
from level to level,
from glory to glory,
in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a big round of applause.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.